And once again, this is The Blob, along with my co-host, King Cow. And you're here for another edition of Vinyl Rhetoric.
As usual, that is a show within a show.
It is, isn't it?
Watching him put his headphones on.
Yeah, when you do it with one hand, it's kind of strange.
Yeah, it's funny.
Yeah, we should videotape one of these days.
I think, too, because if I'm taking mine off, mine don't rotate like yours do. Your cup goes all the way around or upside down or pirouettes or whatever it does.
Yeah, so it's tricky.
So when you put, he'll get one side on and then the other side is flipped and he'll put that on and then he'll have to make that one come over the right way. And
it's and definitely challenging.
It's definitely awesome.
I didn't know you were so easily amused.
You know what? It's like giving a monkey a banana and watching him do what he does.
Oh, yeah.
It's like, here's a headset. Have at it.
Play with this.
Thank you.
The only thing that could be better is if it was bright and shiny, right?
No, like I said, if we were filming it, that would be better.
Okay.
That would be awesome. So, what's new?
Get through the week.
Yeah.
It's not too bad. I mean, it's nothing special. I mean, there's always personal challenges on my end, you know.
Yeah. So I understand that.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure everybody else does, too. So it's not, I mean, what more can I say? There's some, what might you say, emotional components that go along with this, with the better half that.
The better half.
That'd be
half doesn't work and half works. That's the better half.
Yeah, the part that
the right side is the better half.
No, the inside.
Ew. How is that better?
Well, you know, considering the stuff that we deal with now, there are certain components to it that are more. Intent stuff, you know, like intentionally saying something or unintentionally saying something and your counterpart doesn't see it your way. So you argue about who's right. But,
hello. Does she have the BC?
No.
And you win. I know. I've learned that lesson.
You know,
that's the trump card.
It worked for a while.
I'd use it. Use it till. Okay, eventually you're going to know it really doesn't work. Then you use incapacitation. Look at, I can't do this. In fact, I would do this one time. Like tie a string, like a fishing line to your hand. Man, maybe not, never mind. I say tie a fishing line and then like kind of make it move and she thinks something's happening. But this is what I see happening. You tie it. You're going to forget about it. It's going to constrict. They're going to have to amputate your hand.
Right. See, there's, you have to think so much far forward.
Yeah. I thought that came quickly.
It did.
Like me. It came quickly.
It came quickly.
I realized it as I was saying it. As funny as that sounds to me, not very good. So last weekend we were at my folks' house.
Yeah.
And I said to one of my sisters, wouldn't that be weird if Dad just died right now? And, of course, she's getting upset. I go, yeah, but me and my brother, we can, like, tie our hands together and be like Weekend at Bernie's and make him wave and walk with him. And then she goes, I've never seen that movie. And so I'm going, I know, and I'm going, I keep going and flipping my hand up.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
Hey, hi, Bernie.
That was a great movie. I like that.
I liked it. Yeah. You know, probably 3 years ago, four years ago, they had a guy, Coco Crisp, on the team, and he would do I don't know how it became the Burning Lean, but it's like a dance where you lean back and kind of shuffle or jiggle your body, and they call it the Burning Lean. So okay. the A's, a lot of them would do this, especially when they got a double, and they ended up having Bernie Day or whatever. I don't know what they called it. But they had him come, and he sat in the booth with them, and they had a whole people had everybody had Bernie mask on a stick, so yeah, it was kind of cool.
Wow.
Yeah, he was even talking about there was a Bernie 3, possibly in the works. He looked just the same. Yeah, it was pretty neat.
That was a cool movie.
It was cool just listening to him talk. You know, just
did they do a Bernie 2?
They did do a Weekend of Bernie's 2.
Really?
Uh-huh.
I did not know that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I saw that. It was all right. It I don't know. It really wasn't as good as the first one.
Yeah,
But basically, I think it was at the end of one, he comes out of the... when they're driving away, I think he slides out of the ambulance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so it just pretty much took up where the other one left off.
Gotcha.
Yeah, entertaining premise.
Yes,
entertaining.
Definitely.
It was an entertaining movie.
I like the Hitman.
Oh yeah, yeah.
That guy's, I can't remember his name.
I don't know his name.
He's funny though.
Yeah, so he was good in that.
Yeah.
And then
going nuts. I just killed him.
Andrew McCarthy and I can't remember the other guy.
Oh yeah.
I don't know if you said it, I'd go, that's it. But me expecting you to say it is like expecting it to rain in this closed room.
Yeah.
I know it's going to happen. I'm just watching. Oh, he's asleep.
No.
He's thinking?
Yeah, he's thinking. Yes.
Jason, Justin. I want to think it begins with a J, but I don't know. Yeah. Unimportant.
I guess.
Proceed.
Yeah. Oh,
this is Vinyl Rhetoric.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And we can
that's
be reached right. at?
Someplace. Well, there's a Gmail, vinylrhetoric@gmail.com. Then there's vinyl_rhetoric. And then there's vinylrhetoric.
On what?
On the I.
Look. I'm giving him clues.
He's giving me clues.
What is this?
It's a face. Oh, on Facebook.
Yes. Woo. Yeah. He was. I was pointing at my face, and he said "I," and I'm like, maybe he thinks I'm iPhone.
That's possible.
So, you have a hierarchy. Putting on the headphones, seeing where we're located. That's right below it.
Yeah.
I don't know what comes next, but I'll let you know when I figure it out.
Okay, because I just can't do it. It's like when you couldn't do the openings, the intros.
I could not.
You know, I just can't get beyond it now. It's like we're on too many social. We're on like a tenth of the social media sites that are available, and I can't even remember those three.
A tenth?
I don't know how many social media sites there are out there.
I don't know either. I don't know where you came up with a 10th.
It's base 10 thinking.
Oh, okay.
All right.
I was watching a video last night, and it was talking about, it was a mathematician. I don't know what the other two guys were. One's a mathematician. David Galanter, something like that. Anyway, when you watch the video, he's got a black and white glove on his right hand. I believe it's a fake hand, and I think it got blown up by the Unabomber.
Really?
Telephone is ringing. Pause. Just pause.
No.
Okay.
I wanted to cut them off.
Yeah, good job. And anyway, he was talking about DNA and the... probabilities of the strand, and he was explaining that to get the strand you have to, you know, make this
amino acid,
correct, and you have to, but it's not like and he started using stones or as examples. So you would have one, and it would be, so you'd have 20, you have 20, but they're all in a different pattern. So the first one is like diamond, and then ruby, and then ruby, and ruby, and then platinum. And so you just was going, so it's
the, oh, that was the one on Darwin's.
Correct.
Yeah.
Oh, did you see it?
Yeah, I did. Oh. Yeah.
So, well, this is what made me think of it when you said power of 10. So he says the probability of
getting those in the right
order. In the
order.
Right order and producing whatever you want to produce. Do you know what? Do you remember?
It's like 1 to the 77th.
That is correct. Dude, you. That's up there with putting on your headphones. Pulling that out? Where did that come from? It was 1 over 10 to the 77th power.
Right, yeah.
And so I was just doing it, you know, in my head. And I think I was only at 1 to the 20th power, and you're in the quadrillions.
Oh, wow.
See, because you know, it's 10 times 10 times 10 times 10 times 10. Right. So I, you know, I'm like 10, 100, 1,000, 10,000. 100,000, million, 10 million, 100 million, billion, so that's 9, 10 billion, 100 billion, trillion, 10 trillion, 100 trillion, quadrillion. So 15 is to quadrillion, and it's just, it's that's 15, 10 to the 15th power.
Right.
And you're at 1 quadrillion.
Man.
And there's still 52 to go.
I totally think I do the mediating or
yeah. I could.
He was kind of a
he
butt.
Was a dick. I thought he was. Yeah, I thought so. I that's funny that I didn't know you saw that.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, somebody told me about it at work, and I was watching it, and
you know, I thought it was interesting.
It was cool. I guess it's been there. I think they did it in 2008. So that's like 10 or 11 years old.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, it's not even a new thing.
Yeah, I like their mathematics actually proves it.
Yeah, it was pretty interesting.
Yeah.
And I think that the... I'm stuck.
Oh, no.
No, I'm not. The... At least one of them, for sure, is not.
Oh, really?
Yeah. The guy with the beard on the right is. He's not. I don't think he's believes in. Or I don't think he's a Christian, or he believes in God. The one on the far left.
It definitely does. Yeah.
The one in the middle, I couldn't tell, and I think
that dude was hippie-ish, man.
That dude was awesome. I thought he was awesome. He was so. I thought he was so cool.
Yeah.
I thought he was Peter Fonda cool, like Peter Fonda in Easy Rider.
Oh,
that's
okay.
What he reminded me of, something like that, or, you know, Lance Hendricks? I think it's Lance Hendricks.
From?
He was in Alien. He's the fake person in Alien, the android. In
oh,
Alien.
That guy. Yeah.
He's in quite a few things. But he just seemed, he had that cane with the big silver tip, and he was wearing a t-shirt with a cut-off jean jacket. I was like, sweet. And he was older. I mean, he
was probably in his
60s.
80s? I'd say 60s.
Oh, I think 80s.
Really?
Yeah, I was doing, okay, so I'm watching. You got nothing to do but watch. So when they go to different scenes, I'm looking at his arms, like the wrinkles that were on. Yes.
Got it.
And so I think definitely 70s.
Okay.
Definitely 70s.
Got it. All right. Probably late 70s then.
Yeah, mid to late. Yeah. Okay. That's what I would say that.
When you said Galanter, I'm like.
Well,
it's a close name to one of my professors that I had, Galanter.
And I had one, Rear Enter.
Give Enter was smart, dude. Smart. Oh, my gosh. But very detached from students.
And Rear Enter was really attached to students. I got along with him good.
Did you?
Yeah.
did a lot of receiving of information.
No, I was probably imparting a lot of information to him.
Okay.
He it's almost like he liked baseball. He preferred to catch.
Oh, okay.
And I you know, I liked baseball. I liked pitching.
Yeah.
I stepped up at the plate a couple times. And
it's tough on the appendages.
Yeah, yeah. Sometimes it's hard. But, you power through. That's what I try to do.
Power through, baby.
Yeah, I think I told you this. I think I did. I'm not sure. Sometimes I because there's stuff I remember and I never talk about. I was in a final, and they had this guy, and I believe there was one player on the team with me in this class. I believe. I'm not sure about that, but this guy was really. He seemed kind of weird. He was an older dude and kind of just, I can't say it wasn't all with it, but there was just something about him that I thought was a little off. So we're in the final, and we get a piece of paper, they pass it around, everyone signs in on the final. So I signed in my name. And right below my name, I signed Alfred E. Newman. You know who that is?
Yes.
So he gets it. So I'm taking the test, and I'm doing stuff, and eventually, I think I started watching him, and he's at the front at his desk, and he's going down a list. And he's counting the names, and then he's looking up and he's counting the students. And he's going down and counting the names and going up. And this was going on for a while. Needless to say, I'm in a final. I'm not taking it. I'm watching this. And finally, and I don't know if I was close to being done. And I don't know, maybe I did it when I was done. That I'm not sure of. But I did go up to him and I said, this, and I pointed Alfred E. Newman, this isn't a real name. What did he ask me? Why did you sign in for him? No, it's not a real person. Well, why'd you sign him in? No, it's not a real person. He was not grasping what I was saying. And I don't know if I finally told him, Mad Magazine, this is the fictional character. He's not, this is not a real, why, but why, he could not understand why I signed him in. And finally, I know that I just said, well, I'm not seeing you again. Bye. And I just took it off.
Yep.
But why did you sign him in? He's not a real person, but his name's here. Yes, I understand that. I put it. So why did you sign him in? A joke. I thought it was funny. It's actually, I didn't know that,
perplexing.
35 years later, it would come back to live in infamy.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it was so funny.
That's hard to, I guess not hard to believe. Because eventually I did go to college.
Yes, you did.
I did. And, I don't know, what was your worst experience?
For
a class,
I had a few.
Okay, well, that's good.
But when you say worst,
I mean like something happened in that class that just was outrageous. Like you were treated poorly, or like for me, I recall. Well, so I had this, and I don't know if she had a doctorate or anything. I would think not. Let me ask, I'll start this off by asking, if you were going to teach history of the 20th century.
If I had gone to teach, if I was...
If you were the professor in the class and you were going to teach history of the 20th century, when would you start? I mean, what would you consider to be the beginning of the 20th century?
Okay. Technically, 1900.
Okay.
But I would probably start around 1880.
Industrial Revolution.
To explain what was going, you know, why things had happened.
Yes.
You know, and show that, you know, this led up to this, et cetera.
Now, this was, this class I think I took in 2000. And
actually, I think it's 1901 is actually the start of the 20th century.
I believe you're right.
So.
But yeah, but I mean.
Yes, I would start a little early because you're, you know.
The railroads, basically. I say
that would be.
I called it the Industrial Revolution.
But you could go from the, you know, you're talking about the mode of transportation was the railroad and then how it, because that was already established, but automobiles will come a little bit later.
Right, yes.
And so you could show that, hey, this is what they were doing. And
telegraph. Modern manufacturing, yes, and everything.
A lot of things that started in the mid to late 1800s,
yes.
And were replaced or modified and made better as, you know, you roll into the 20th century. So that's probably what I would do. What did she do?
She starts from current time and works backwards. When I knew this was going to be bad when she said, "Does anybody remember Watergate and Ehrlichman?"
Okay. But that's,
his name was John Ehrlichman.
Oh. But that's
okay, but she starts out with hip hop in like 04. Or 02 or something like that.
See, you work from the back and you show how these things
built on themselves.
How,
yes,
you had blues and it morphed into
like an R&B.
Rock, and rock morphed into disco, or branch things branch off, and
yeah,
and you have different.
Yes, correct.
But you can't say
so in class at the end of our, we had to.
Rate.
No, we had to answer, like, we had to give a presentation. And so my presentation was on...
How stupid the teacher was?
No.
Pussy.
I should have.
I wouldn't
have done that, except when at the end of the story, you'll know why I couldn't have done it then, because she hadn't really done anything terribly wrong. I mean, other than the way she was teaching. So I give my presentation at the end of the semester, and I present, I ask the question, so why did the Japanese bomb Pearl Harbor? I wanted to find out why. It's not like, you know.
Because they had nothing better to do?
No.
Because we had an embargo upon them?
Well, there was an embargo. We were also sabotaging their oil their oil wells.
In the ocean?
Yeah. Because Germany, we figured out the best way to stop the Blitzkrieg was to cut off its fuel supply. But Japan wouldn't go along with it, and they said, you know, we're going to keep selling them oil, because they were fighting in Manchuria.
They were.
So
the Japanese were fighting the Chinese.
Yes.
And the Chinese hate the Japanese.
And the Chinese.
And we were fighting with the Japanese. No, we were fighting with the Chinese against the Japanese.
That is correct.
Not during the war, not wartime yet.
Right.
The Flying Tigers, I believe, was...
That is correct.
Yeah.
But, so it turns out we were sabotaging their oil fields.
How do they know it was us?
Well...
I mean, did they...
Okay, my information comes from a guy whose dad was part of that sabotage.
A saboteur?
He was a saboteur.
Nice.
So I did some research, and it turns out we were.
Uh-huh.
But I thought it was interesting. You know, it's like, because I always wondered, we weren't doing anything to them. What did they come over and do that for? And found out, you know, yeah, we were actually, we provoked it, you might say. So anyway, I get done with my presentation. Everything's, you know, I think, yeah, everything's good. It's time to come in and get our grade, like 3 or 4 days later. And I came in. She told me, and when I got done with that presentation, she said, "Do you mind? That was really, really good. And there's some information that you shared that I would like to utilize in one of my classes.
Will you do me?"
And I'm like, "Yeah, I don't care."
She said that? And yeah, you said, "I don't care?"
Yeah, I said, "No big deal. Yeah, go right ahead."
Okay.
3 or 4 days later, I go in to get my grade, C minus. I was so pissed.
No, you can't use my... No, you can't use it.
I was just pissed.
Okay. So, not
based on that.
Okay. So, that criteria. This one, I thought I want to be a marine biologist. So, I know nothing about school. And the first semester, my dad picked first quarter, we're on the quarters, picks my classes. So, I took like one for a biology. I forget what it was. Might have been biology, but there were three biology classes you would have to take. I took a class that was, we had to take to graduate, history one and history two. Those were a requirement. So I got the history one. There was something else. I can't remember what else he chose. But then, after signing up and doing it, I understood, okay, I got it. There's a book that has all the classes, and in the front of that, it tells you requirements for all this crap.
Right, right.
So now I start to learn that upper level elective, something can count as an upper level elective, can count part to your major, and sometimes you could get it where it counts for three things.
Yeah.
So then I started, what classes multitask?
Yeah.
So I got it. You know, I got two credits for playing soccer. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday I got a credit. Tuesday, Thursday we got a credit. So intercollegiate soccer,
got
IC
it.
Soccer. So my second semester I took the next one, which was botany. Oh my horribleness! Got the first D I've ever gotten in my life. The first and only D.
Really?
Oh yeah, I hated it. And there was a soccer player in there. He was a freshman, as was I. So we met each other, and then we took this class. We both. He called her a plant. He said she's a plant. She doesn't understand humans. So that was bad. And after that class was done, I went from biology major to undeclared.
Oh wow!
So then I just started taking classes. So that was bad. Just on that, I didn't like it. That's when I found out there's people, that teachers, professors that aren't as good as others.
Yeah.
So this was my worst one, and it wasn't nearly as bad as yours. I take an English class, which is required, one that's like there's. I don't know. I think it was some writing, but it was a requirement for graduating.
Right.
So I took it. Turns out I have the department chair is one giving it.
Oh, wow.
Some old dude, and
yeah,
he says that when we're there that you're going to have to read your everyone's going to have to read their papers that they write. Okay, whatever. So I write my first paper. I don't know what I wrote it on, but I do know what I got. I think I got a D on that. What did I have wrong? One run-on sentence.
You got a D?
Yeah. And so I'm thinking, this is going to be horrible. So this is how I corrected that mistake. I think it was too late to drop. But I changed to pass fail.
Yeah, yeah.
So I changed to pass fail, and then got into it in class. Got into an argument with him, saying this is a speech class. No, it's not. Yeah, I have to read my paper. I have to write. I'm writing my paper because I know I have to read it. So got into an argument. I got into a couple arguments with some professors, or I don't know, arguments. This one was probably my only real argument where I'm like, no, dude, you're wrong. Because if I have to say this, if I have to read, I'm writing my paper to be read in front of people. So I went to a couple more classes. And I was pass fail, so I stopped going. Just took my fail because it affected me not at all.
Yeah, it didn't.
Doesn't go to your GPA. Yeah. It's just like, yeah, so.
Yeah.
That was my worst one, probably.
I had a class. It was, actually, it was kind of funny. We had a class at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and it was a political class because I was a poli-sci major. And the guy teaching the class was one of those dudes that was out on a Greenpeace boat or something like that for like, mm-hmm. and wrote a book while he was out on it for like 2 years. I don't know how he got to teach this class, but he asked at the beginning of class, or at one of the early classroom times, he asked, and at the time, I think we were, let's say this was, what, 2004, maybe 5. So he's asking, who did we think the biggest threat in the world was right at that moment? You know, and of course, you know, kids are all like, well, I don't know. And I think it was somewhere in the Middle East was, you know, a pretty big threat, Iran or something like that. You know, or they were, at the time, they were the biggest, you know, thing in the news. And I raised my hand and I said, North Korea. And he just looks at me and he goes, oh, look at the Middle East right now. And I said, yeah, I know, but look what's going on in North Korea. And after that, I just was like, you're an ass. And I refused to go to class. Well, I had that class in the morning, and then I had a class at like 1 in the afternoon with Assad Abu Khalil. Now, Assad was a cool teacher. I mean, class started at 2 o'clock. He'd show up at 2:05, you know, just kind of hustling, you know. And we talked for a little bit. About 10 minutes before class is over, he goes, okay, we're done. And he'd be the first one out the door.
Nice.
But he was from Beirut. Uh-huh. I mean, but he was a nice guy. Well, because I didn't go to the other class in the morning, well, I wasn't gonna come in the afternoon because I had other things to do. I'd do my other homework and stuff. So I stopped going to that class. I stopped going to his class. And at the end of the semester, I don't want to... Because I don't think I could change past fail at the time I decided to quit going. But if I finally, you know, I go, well, I'd like to get a grade for the class. So I texted him and I said, I told him, you know, who I was and kind of what was going on. And I said, what can I do to, you know, get a passing grade in the class? And he said, without doing the work? And I went, yeah. He goes, I don't think that's possible. I said, okay, thank you. No problem. But that's what I always found. You need to tell my kids about college. You know, yeah, you're going to gain some information. But, you know, when you go to a job, they want you to know what you're doing. Or, you know, you need to at least be trainable.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what you really learn is how to navigate the world in some respects. Learn how to make choices that why am I having to make this choice? Well, because you decided to do that. And now you got to decide what you're going to do here. You know, it makes you learn in different ways because you get exposed to so many things.
Mm-hmm.
And it was kind of the same thing. It was like, it can't hurt to ask.
Yeah, no, it can't.
I mean, if he said, yeah, you got to do this, this, and this.
Get on your knees.
Yeah.
Pray to me.
I had a class one time at the end of the semester. I got so sick. I mean, I was, you know, running a fever, all 9 yards. And we had to write a paper on it was kind of combining all the other papers we had written and do a final paper. And I mean, I don't even want to go to class. I'm so sick. I don't want to get anybody else sick. So I finally came in after class and I approached him and I said, I'm just curious, I'm not sure how I'm doing in this class, but I said, I'm so sick. I said, there's classes that I need to pass. And I mean, I need to pass this one too, but if I was going to not do a final paper, I would probably choose not to do this one. And if I don't do my final paper, what can I expect for a grade in this class? And he said, well, you're carrying an A right now, so I'd fail you on that. You'd get a C. And I said, okay, done. Don't expect a paper from me because I just don't have the energy to write it. But those are the kind of things I thought were real important. You know, it was like, you know, you learn to make a decision like that,
mm-hmm.
you know, to say, and be honest with the people that are, you know, that it affects or that have a consideration in the matter. You know, so I can easily tell my kids, yeah, sometimes you have to choose not to do something. And it's going to affect you here. And it's going to hurt you here, but that's the least of the hurt. I said I'd rather get one, you know, lower grade than a bunch of average grades, which wouldn't help. So, you know, I went through a lot when I went back to college. So, because I didn't go back till I was 38, which that's why I was bringing it up, because you said this guy in the class who's older. And it was funny when I'd sit around there and I'd go, some of these kids are my kids' age. And it's like, hey, what's going on here? You sort of feel out of place.
Yeah.
But at least in some of the classes, the kids were mature enough to talk back and forth. You know, you can have a conversation. You could, you know, you could debate perspectives and issues.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but you couldn't do that at some places. So... when you say the guy was older in class, I'm just kind of maybe reminisce back to that time in my life when I was kind of that odd duck. I'd sit down in class and I mean, these people are whipping out laptops and, you know, typing away, and I'm like, click, click, here comes the chicken.
Yeah, well, I'm glad you said that, because you said they were whipping out, and my mind went to, what the heck? Has school changed that much? Laptops. Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah.
I mean, I was struggling. Should I get a laptop?
You were still using a T1 calculator?
Yeah.
Whatever they're called. Texas Instruments, TI.
I don't even think I was doing that.
TI-80.
I didn't have a...
math class?
Yeah, I didn't.
But you could spell words. 4-3-7-7. No, 7-7-3-4. Turn up the calculator. Oh, it's upside down. It says hell.
Yeah. So, like I said, you know, it was just kind of, it was strange. It was strange, a lot of experiences in college. And when you're actually older than some of your professors.
Oh, nice.
And that was the one I told you about that's really struggled with kind of the social thing and, you know, didn't relate real well. He actually made a statement in one of the classes that he says, because he used to work for a jet propulsion laboratory
mm-hmm.
down in, what, Pasadena. And
you might know that as JPL.
Yeah. He was one of the guys that would basically run the trajectory to put something on the moon and stuff. And he said, you know, sometimes I find it easier to set something on a distant planet
than dealing with
a student.
Yeah, nice. Like,
yeah. He was one of those guys that back in the, well, it must have been the 60s, the government was trying to figure out a different formula for, like, making decisions and stuff like that. So they took a bunch of, like,
orangutans and put them in a cage.
A bunch of crazy, like jet propulsion guys, you know, that did slide rule calculations and all that stuff, and paid for them to become like political science majors to develop a system by which you could teach political science in a scientific way instead of the way it was being done, you know, kind mm-hmm. of like emotionally and stuff like that. So I'm like, yeah, great. Wonderful. Wonderful way to go. Yeah, this guy, yeah, I'm glad you pulled him in. And they did 30 professors out of all the scientists in the United States. He was one of the 30. I felt so blessed. Yeah. Oh, man. So that was kind of weird, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But that's kind of ended abruptly for my brain.
Okay.
So, you want anything you want to add to that?
No, I'm good.
Okay, you want to? We're gonna listen to some music. How's that?
Okay.
Anything you want to hear specifically?
Nope.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're gonna know who this is.
Okay. Fire away.
Okay, here we go.
Side one.
Oh, yeah.
Highway to Hell.
You know, like that.
Side one, song one.
That's a great album.
I love this album. I play, I can't find my copy of it.
Really?
Yep. Don't know where it's at.
Man,
but I have it on CD.
Yeah.
As well.
Yeah.
So, yeah. I love the horns on Bon Scott's head.
Angus.
Oh, whoever.
Anger. Yeah. Angus Beef.
Yeah. It's... That's... I mean, Touch Too Much.
Oh, yeah.
I know that's on there.
Yeah, and we're not going to hear that one.
Yeah, we are. He's in a touch...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we are.
Yeah, we are. Yeah, you are correct. I still like the next song is one of my favorites.
I love this whole side.
Yeah, it's good.
One thing, listening to it, I've heard this song hundreds of times.
Yeah.
The first couple of verses, the music's very Spartan.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, the drums, little guitar and little bass, but it's until they do the guitar solo, it doesn't really kick in. It's pretty Spartan for the...
Yeah.
I mean, there's a little bit in the chorus, a little bit more instrumentation in the chorus.
But still, it's... it is, yeah. Well, I always thought Bon Scott had a great voice.
I like his voice.
I mean, maybe he wouldn't fit in well with, say, Yes, or, you know...
Queen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But...
No, he fits for what they do.
For what they do, yeah. He's... That was the perfect fit. And style of singing.
Yeah, that's yeah, I knew what it was, the first note.
Oh, yeah, I figured you knew exactly who it was.
I was like, oh, I know who this is.
Yeah.
So
kind of hard to miss.
Yeah, and then I just sang along with the group.
Yeah. I think everybody does.
I
No stop signs, no speed limits.
Nobody's gonna...
Slow me down.
Look at wheels gonna spin it. Nobody's gonna mess me around.
Yeah.
Hey, Satan, pay my dues. Play in a rocking band.
You ever see him live?
I did not.
I got to see him live.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That
was a cool. That was a cool show.
I can imagine. Yeah, you saw him live with Bon Scott.
Yes.
Yeah, I remember. So I think my senior year, Brian Johnson. So he dies. Bon Scott dies, I think, maybe my junior year.
Okay.
And then they replace him, and they get Brian Johnson. And so in probably October, I'd say, Back in Black comes out, October of 1980. And then they tour, and there was one guy that went to the show, and I was asking him, how was it, you know? And he was a total dick to me. He was, yeah. And I've known him for a few years. We might have gone to grade school. I can't remember if we did or not. I think we did. We might have. Anyway, he was kind of a dick. And then later on, I don't know, maybe six, seven years later, my brother's going through high school, and I don't know if he's a teacher or something, but he's picking on my brother, and my brother goes, yeah, I'm gonna have my brother talk to you. I don't know what he said exactly, but then the guy goes, who, King Cow? Because, you know, I graduated high school, 5'8", 140, 145, and I went to my senior, I'm not my senior, my,
5-year nope. reunion.
35. Somewhere. Okay. Somewhere, maybe 30. Yeah, probably 30. 2000. Yeah, probably 30. So I go to this, and I know he's going to be there. I know he hasn't grown. He's probably like 5'10". And he turns out his brother is taking... when we're signing in, he's like checking us in and doing stuff. And he said is your brother going to be here? Cause he told me who I wouldn't have known. He's my brother's age. I really didn't know. I knew him, but not really. I go, is Matt going to be here? And he would have no clue why I was being a dick to him. Cause I was going to be, and then say, come on, let's bring it on. But he said, he's not going to be there. But I was a little disappointed at that.
I think so.
Yeah, because when I went, nobody knew who I was. I can't say nobody.
I went to my 5 and that was it. I haven't gone to anything.
That's the only one I've gone to. Only thing I've seen. A couple guys I knew, I played soccer with. There was one guy that I played. His dad was my first coach and coached me for 6-7 years. And so I played with him every year. He showed up with a girl and... I
was that surprising?
Yeah. The girl he showed up with was.
Oh.
I was really happy to see the girl he was with, because it wasn't his. I don't know his wife. he lives in Arizona, but the girl he showed up with was his sister. So,
wow.
You know, and I've known him, her since she was probably 8 or however much younger she was.
Okay, gotcha.
So I got it, and she knew, I hadn't seen her in years, and so that was his date, and that was cool seeing him. He knew me. There was another guy that I'd seen knew me, but all these other people that I hung around with, part of it, I'm, you know, 50 pounds heavier, 5 inches taller. I mean, I'm a lot different. I've grown up. So, and I'm shaving my head. You know, I had long hair in high school. I had long hair for a long time. So seeing, there was one guy. There were two brothers. They were twins, and I haven't seen them probably since we since we graduated.
Really?
And they asked, well, I bet you don't know who this is. This one guy. I bet you don't know who this is. And he's looking at me, and he said my name. I'm like, oh, nice. And then I asked him where his brother was, his identical twin brother. He died a couple of years ago of pancreas cancer or something.
Really?
And I'm like, oh, that sucks. Yeah.
Man.
But,
oh, wow.
Yeah, anyway. Yeah, that just, you know, thinking of Back in Black made me think of that. And because this album came out. 77?
Yeah, I think so.
Somewhere close to there. And
yep.
I played side one a lot.
A lot.
Yeah, I loved it.
Yeah.
Too much for my body, too much for my brain. This damn woman's going to drive me insane. She's got a touch.
Too much.
Yeah. And what sucks is I never hear those songs on the radio. But
right.
She had a body of Venus with arms.
Yeah.
They got some good lyrics, too, on all these things.
They did.
You know, hearing a song on a highway to hell, I never thought negative connotations. I just said, oh, this sounds cool. And I don't know what my mom and dad thought when I'm playing. I mean, I am playing. It's not like I was playing it quietly. You can't play this music quietly.
No, you cannot.
So I played this a lot, so I don't know what they thought when he's playing that stupid Satanist album again or whatever. I have no clue what they thought. They never said a word to me about anything. I mean, no matter what, because I played Van Halen, their first release. I played a lot. This is when I started finding more music, and I played Queen a lot.
Yeah.
The Queen that I had.
It's pretty funny that, you know, mine never did either.
They never said one thing negative or positive.
Yeah.
It's like they never heard it.
I just thought it was funny because, you know, I was doing a lot of Lynyrd Skynyrd at the time.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's my folks were doing the country western thing and polka music. You know, Lawrence Welk, but never did they say anything about how crappy this was. And then years and years later, Christmas time, I was playing some Lynyrd Skynyrd at like the dinner table, just sitting there. And my mom goes, "That's I wish that was around when me and your dad were dating and stuff, because, man, we could dance to this." And I'm thinking, really? Wow, Mom.
Yeah.
Maybe that's why they didn't have anything bad to say against it. Because they saw how good it was,
maybe.
You know, for me, dancing and stuff. Because her best girlfriend out here and her husband, and they used to get together a lot. And they would go dancing, and they would go.
Yeah, that's one thing. I mean, You Shook Me All Night Long, people dance to that. They didn't play a lot of AC/DC to dance to.
Nah. Not really.
Like I said, You Shook Me All Night Long, they'll play that at a bar. And people will come, they will get excited and come out and dance to that.
Yeah.
But a lot of people are dancing and singing. And I notice it's a lot of, like older people.
Our age.
Yeah. I don't know what to call them, because I think all these people that are my age are older than me. I feel like a little kid sometimes. I talk to people at work and don't realize it. Oh, yeah, you know what? I started working here when you weren't born.
Yeah.
Hmm.
It's kind of a weird feeling.
It is. It's interesting. But I never think of them as that young. I know they're younger, but then when they say things, I'm looking at them like, hey, have you ever seen A Christmas Story? No.
What's that?
Yeah, and they're like, Then I'm like, what's wrong? You know who Jimmy Stewart is? No. What's wrong with you?
Do you know what an Ebenezer is?
Yeah, bend over and I'll show you. No, I don't know that movie either. That's, anyway.
Yeah, I agree.
So what's next?
We're going to listen to Girls Got Rhythm.
Girls Got Rhythm. Backstreet Rhythm. I love this song. I love this. This is great side. Released in 79.
Okay.
The
my last year of high school. Yeah.
Well, you didn't go in 80?
Not much. Well, I had enough credits to graduate when I was a junior.
Oh. Yeah, I took my best class ever when I was a senior.
Oh, really?
Yep. Typing.
Yeah, you'd mention that to me.
One whole year of typing. I can touch type. I could probably do 40 words a minute.
Well, that's good.
With
I'm like, I can do 40 characters a minute.
Yeah, I get a lot. I can, once I start doing it, I get a lot better.
Like once you warm up.
Yeah. Or it's 'cause if I don't type for a while, but I can, you know, once I find the home rope,
start
best class ever.
Yeah, I can see where that would be. I mean, I look back on it now and go, I wish I had learned how to type real well.
Yeah, well, I had no clue that I was going to need it for a computer.
Yeah.
Well, I just had it for...
And that was about the time computers were starting to...
Yeah, I had a computer.
Did you?
Yeah, I got a computer. I got it a little later than that. I think I got it in... Oh, no. I probably got it around...
Okay.
86.
Okay.
I bought my first computer. All right. Yeah, it was not very good.
I mean, I don't know what my first one was. I bought a compact. You know, I had like 2 gigs of, you know, hard storage.
Mine had none.
I know you were floppy.
I had five and a quarter floppies. 5 and a quarter,
yeah. And I remember when I brought it home, my dad said, "That's huge. You'll never fill that up."
Yeah.
What? I look today, it's like my phone is way more powerful than that ever
I worked
was.
At this hotel, and the owner, their daughter, was married to some guy named... Some guy, you might have heard, I don't know, you probably don't even know who this guy is, Steve Wozniak.
Oh, yeah.
He was married to her, and I'm like, Steve, what? That's an Apple co-founder in there. And so they had Apple stuff long before.
Apple was even on the landscape.
Oh, no, Apple was on the landscape, but they had top-of-the-line Apple stuff that, you know, that was being developed. They had an Apple Macintosh.
Did they really?
It was about the size of, I'm trying to think what it was like. Maybe 2 toasters on top of each other.
Oh, yeah?
And the screen was like maybe
yeah.
7 inches.
Wow.
But they had a hard drive that was some stupid, like, a gigabyte or 2 gigs, something like your thing.
Some astronomical.
Yeah, and it was like, oh. And so I do remember this. So I would, you know, work on it and do print up stuff. And at one point when I got my current job, I thought that was going to come about. So I printed up my resignation letter and left it on there. And then they found it. Yeah.
Wow.
That was pretty funny.
Huh. Dang.
So anyway.
He learned to use them early. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was a, I don't know, not a strange time, but for this music was all over the place. I mean, it was played on every station.
That's another good song. Is that your favorite?
No.
Okay.
No. Not my favorite.
I don't know.
I don't know. I'm just saying.
Because it's
no.
A love song?
Yeah. I think. Well, which one is my favorite? Was it might be Night Prowler.
That's a good song too. That's not on this side.
No, that's on side two. Yeah, side two. So we're not going to get to hear that today.
Why'd you pick side one?
I think it's because I think it had more mainstream, you know, music. You know, that was more popular.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked the sound of it, you know, it just did. I liked Night Prowler just because it was like really kind of sleazy, bluesy type.
Mm-hmm.
And I was going to wait the whole album just to get that. But I like this side.
Yeah, I love this side.
Second side is okay.
Yeah, it's okay.
I mean, it's sustainable, but I like side one way better.
All right.
All the songs on that side are good.
Yeah.
I
liked Highway to Hell. And then, so I'd play that, and that's the first song. And then everything, I like this one. And then I liked them all.
Yeah. It was kind of weird, you know. It was like, it's like you never didn't know who they were, and then one day they're just like superstars.
Yeah. So. I think this is their... fifth studio album. Fifth.
A vodka?
Yeah. Well, it says sixth studio album, but it's the fifth released internationally, the sixth in Australia.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. That makes sense.
I always liked it.
Well, yeah, you know, if you're driving somewhere, you put this on, man, you get there quicker. You could always count on getting there quicker if this was playing.
Yeah, I know. I think my daughters kind of like it too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
I don't think my kids are really into it.
Yeah, mine. They'll, and it may be just because they know I like it, but if it comes on the radio, they'll stop and turn it up. And
well, that's nice.
But I do know they sing it also.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, I don't know. I like their sound. I know you don't like their sound so much with Brian Johnson.
Yeah, I was never.
I like both.
Do you really?
Yeah, I like both. Different. They did. They sound different after. So they, yes. It's like their songs are more.
I think they're
polished.
More, yeah.
You know the Bon Scott. They're a lot more. Like you said, sleazy, bluesy, raw. Gritty, raw.
Yeah.
A lot of emotion. A lot of just...
Well, and, you know, I think with Brian Johnson, they were crafting songs.
Yeah.
Okay, I think with Bon Scott, they were crafting life. Songs from life.
Well, yeah, a whole lot of Rosie.
Yeah.
Is about a real person.
It is.
Some groupie they had.
Yeah. So I think there was just a amount of raw emotion that went into the Bon Scott stuff.
Yeah, Dirty Deeds,
but he was,
High Voltage.
I think he set out to be a lead singer in a band. That was what he wanted to do in his life.
Good goal.
Yeah.
I don't think he planned on choking on his own vomit and dying.
Well, I would think not.
That's.
But I think if you listen to his lyrics...
Oh, you can see why he did it?
You can see why that happened.
Yeah. Yeah. Good one.
You know, and if you watch watch live footage of him and stuff, you know, he was always, you know, bare-chested and or shirtless and, you know, just trying to turn the women on. And I think that would be pretty easy because he was a relatively good-looking guy. Was it?
Speak for yourself, Kemosabe.
Yeah, it's okay.
Bon Scott... I don't know.
Let me ask you then. Was he from Scotland or Ireland?
He might have been from... Oh, that's why his name was Bon Scotland. I don't know. He might have been from Scotland. I thought he was... I thought he was Australian like all the rest.
Oh, okay. It might have been. I just... thought I remember something about him being not from Australia.
So I believe Def Leppard, the album I played, was produced by Mutt Lange.
Oh, really?
This is produced by Robert Mutt Lange.
Yeah.
So I you just notice those things when you read the album.
Yes.
This guy produced this album. This guy produced this group too.
Yeah. So and you go, wow.
And I don't know if that contributes to why I like some of the sound of, you know.
Could be. Cause, yeah, I would think so.
There's a lot of stuff that, or is it just because he produces a lot of stuff of groups that I like?
I'd say the former.
So it's like, did the chicken come before the egg?
I would say the former.
And the egg came before the chicken.
Well, the egg's always before the chicken.
No, it's not. Okay. So the next song, I love the next song too.
Okay.
You know what? I the whole thing. I'm gonna walk all over you. Walk all over you. I'm ready? Gonna walk all over.
Are we ready?
Ready. Thank you. That's a great song too.
And they know how to end one, don't they?
So he was born in Scotland.
Yes, that's what I thought.
And so is Angus and Malcolm Young were both born in Scotland.
Were they really?
And they moved to Australia when they were young. I think he moved when he was 6.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so he was raised in Australia, but he was born in Scotland.
Got it. All right. So, I thought I heard something about him. Yeah. He was actually Scottish.
Bon Scotland.
Bon Scotland.
That's my Bonnie Scotland. That's a great song.
Yes, it is. Everything
the build up to it. And then they just explode into it.
Oh yeah. That was one of the cool things about the way they approached it. It was started out with some real kind of not real loud stuff, and then just burst on and just.
Yeah, I think Nick's song's probably my favorite. On the side.
Okay.
Touch too much. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know. I like the lyrics. I like the steady guitar beat in it.
Yep.
But this whole this whole side was excellent.
Yeah. You could put this on.
And you know what? The backside too.
Yeah.
Shot down in flames.
Yeah, Night Prowler.
Ain't it a shame to be shot down in flames? I liked. AC/DC. Really?
Yeah. I mean, his lyrics were definitely his lifestyle.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I was looking. Have a Drink on Me, which comes on the Knicks album, Back in Black.
Right.
It was written by them, Bon Scott, before
he
passed away.
Really?
Yeah. Yep. So, yeah, I thought that was interesting that
particular song was written prior to his death
mm-hmm.
by him.
Have a Drink on Me and Let Me Put My Love Into You were written. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
That's cool. That's cool information.
What I'd heard is Brian Johnson had all the songs already, but turns out Brian Johnson was in another band as a singer.
Yeah, I can't.
I don't know the name of it.
I'd heard of it, but I can't remember what it was.
But I didn't know that.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't know that. I thought they were auditioning for singers.
Oh.
And they just auditioned. The story I heard, they'd auditioned. They were auditioned. Then he came, and he had all these songs written already. And then so then they did it.
They chose him because they didn't have to do any writing.
Because they liked his singing. And I didn't know he was a singer. I just thought they auditioned people, and they had NXS had an audition thing for the Knicks NXS singer because he NXS'd himself.
Yeah, the band.
Yeah, but the singer was XS'd. He XS'd himself by maybe autoerotic asphyxiation. I think it was that.
Was that what it was?
I think the NXS singer did.
He did the carotene, pre-carotene.
Yeah, I don't know what he did. I don't know. I don't even understand that. I mean, when I'm about to reach that point and I'm choking my wife, nothing happens. I don't know if it's supposed to, but nothing's happening.
Yeah. Interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. What a way to go.
Yeah, I guess. I guess.
Yeah.
We'll call it that.
What a way to come and go.
Mm-hmm.
Ew. I bet you that's a sticky mess.
It probably is. Hopefully they find him right away.
Yeah, really. Let's bring out the UV light.
Yeah.
See what really happened here. So you want to get to that next song?
Yes, I do.
Okay, here we go.
She wouldn't do. It wasn't the first, wasn't the
song's awesome.
It is. You can't help it, like this whole side.
Just like a hand in a velvet glove.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, nothing I can say. Just, it's cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
Good. This is a good, really good side.
Yes, it is.
This album, I would give an A.
Yeah, I could see that. Yeah.
I
having seen him live, I was impressed.
Yeah, see, I don't even know how I heard of him.
They were the opening act at Dale Agree that one year. It was like, wow. Watching him come out.
Did you know them?
I'd heard of them.
Okay. The reason I ask is I went to a Day on the Green, and there was a band that was playing that was the opening band. I didn't know anything of them, but I'd heard of them. And it was, oh my gosh, I can't think of their name. I can think of the name of the album.
What's the name of the album?
666, Number of the Beast. I could think of Eddie as their mascot.
Megadeth. Iron Maiden.
Iron Maiden. So Iron Maiden was the opening band.
Really?
Yeah. But I didn't know who they were. But they were cool.
Iron Maiden was a good show. Yeah, they were a good show.
Yeah. So that was Iron Maiden, Scorpions, Loverboy, Foreigner.
Wow.
It's a good show. It was really good.
I bet. I bet. Yeah. I just remember like Bon Scott coming out, I think, where the... I'm not sure what
the but you were saying by the where the players come out and walking through the whole crowd to center field.
Yeah.
With Angus Young on his shoulders.
Yeah. I'm like, I wouldn't even want to venture out there.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Being in one of the acts.
Was that Ted Nugent's show one?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would be totally like, cool to see.
That was like, I'm like, that, how could, why would you walk on into 20,000 people like that?
For the Rush?
Yeah, I could say that.
I think everybody, would part and let you walk through.
Oh, yeah, they did, but it just seemed like a crazy stunt to do.
I think it would be cool.
Oh, it'd be cool. It was definitely cool.
Well, I went.
So, you didn't go like, "Oh, you guys are stupid."
I went to see, Nickelback, and I believe Bush was the opening act, and he went all the way around the stadium, whatever his name is, Gavin something. I say he's Gavin DeGraw, but I don't think that's. But anyway, he went through all the way around the stadium singing, and giving people high fives, and which I thought was totally cool. Just
at the Dale Green?
No, it's just a regular concert. I don't know if it was the SAP Center. Thinking it was probably the Shark Tank.
Got it.
But so he's singing, and then he goes out in the crowd, and then he's
walking around
in the
singing.
Stadium, yeah, singing it the whole time, cutting through, not just only going in the walkways. He was cutting through where there was some open spots and still singing and saying, "Hey, high five," or whatever he was doing. It was cool.
That's something to see, isn't it?
And it wasn't like people were like, "Oh, I'm going to grab you and
hold on
to you."
They're not mobbing him.
Yeah, no, everyone just watched him go and thought it was cool. And I told you, Peter Gabriel, my friend saw Peter Gabriel, and he sang a song, "Lay Your Hands on Me," I think, or something like that.
And everybody...
He's in the stage and then lays down, and they pass him, while he's singing, pass him on their hands from the front to the back, and then back up to the front again, and then he got back on stage.
Really?
Yeah. And he told me that. I was like... And that's early Peter Gabriel, so I don't know too much. I'm just learning about him.
Right.
And I'm like, oh, that sounds totally cool.
Yeah, some of the things they would do is really interesting.
Yeah. So, I can imagine seeing AC/DC and having them come out.
The energy that those guys had, man. Yeah. Which I'm sure was pharmaceutically...
Induced?
Enhanced.
Enhanced, yeah.
Yeah. So, sometimes you got to wonder.
Yeah.
Would you normally be like this if it wasn't...
I don't know, man. I can't imagine Angus Young the whole show just head bang, head up and down rocking.
Oh yeah, you I have a headache or whiplash.
Yeah, or shaking baby syndrome.
Yeah,
it's like, dude, I do it 3 seconds and I'm like, okay, this doesn't feel good.
I'm nauseated,
and I'm not playing guitar. I'm not doing anything but watching something.
Yeah.
So,
I gotcha.
But that song, it's just this whole album is really well crafted.
Spectacular.
Yeah, it is. I yeah.
Let's get to
this
last song.
This could definitely be an island album.
It could be, yeah.
Definitely be an island album.
I don't think it would make my cut, though.
Oh, I could take it easily.
If I was left a choice between a few albums, and this was one of them, yeah, I could do this.
Yeah.
I got some other stuff that I like better, but still.
This is great album. Yeah, I mean, for me, it's a great album.
It is a good album. I mean, I enjoy it a lot.
All right, what's the last song?
Last song? What do you think it is?
I don't know.
You know what it is.
I know what it is. Beating Around the Bush?
Yep.
Yeah.
How do you get it?
I know. Telling me all those lies. Yeah, that's another good song.
Yep, it was. Hard rocking.
Yep.
Yep. I mean, just like loud and in your face. It just
the whole this whole side, this whole out. Night Prowler is it's a slow bluesy song.
Yes.
But this album is just.
It's in your face.
Chock full of
energy.
Raw energy.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yep. These guys were great. Well, it's a shame Bon Scott died.
Yeah, it's, and I don't have to play this album now. So I like that.
So you choose something new.
Well, I got other. I have multiple AC/DC albums.
Okay, so you can choose something new.
Yeah. That I have. I mean, gotcha. I've got so much stuff lined up. I don't even know what order I'm playing it in.
Oh, gotcha.
But right. I got a lot of stuff. That,
do you?
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, in fact, whenever we do our next show, I don't even know what I'm doing.
Oh, really?
Yep.
Okay.
I'll decide when I come in. I'm like, okay, we're playing this.
Yeah, gotcha. I've got my next couple already lined up, so I know what I'm doing. But after that, I'm...
Hopefully I don't pick another thing that you have coming up. Which I did last time.
That's all right.
If I do, I do.
Yeah, I'm not going to. Hey, you know, you pick the one you want.
Yeah, well, that's what I want.
And I like that. I like the fact that.
And if you can't be with the one you want, love the one you're with.
Yeah.
Love the one you're with.
Yes.
Love the one you're with.
Love me, tender.
I do.
I love you. Love me, do.
I love your do.
It's pretty cool, huh?
It is.
Yeah, I'm going to go for the spike thing next.
How spiky?
Very short spikes.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not.
So what do you have now? Long spikes?
No, they're getting gray, I know that.
I can't tell. All I see is skin.
Okay, that's good.
Thin. It's thin.
It's thin to win.
Thin to win.
Yep, that's the way it is, man.
Yeah, that's a good side.
Thank you.
That is a good side. I'm glad you brought that.
I'm glad you like it.
Yeah. Well, if I didn't, you'd be probably happier.
Not really.
I know how you get when I don't like something.
Yeah, I just think you're so arrogant.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
I can live with that.
Yeah, I think you could. No problem. You're narcissistic.
Yeah? And your point?
Top of my head.
Yep, I knew that. And I knew that was coming.
That's how I keep all the brain cells.
Three of them?
Well, three's an exaggeration, but you know. I appreciate you giving me the benefit of the doubt.
It was, because you know, they're rotating in that in and out.
Yeah, it looks like a neutron.
It does.
Like three of them going around. Doo, 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 doo.
Sometimes
I'm a noble gas.
Nice. I like that. Everything on that side is just.
I brought a winner.
Great, great music.
I brought a winner.
Yep. So, do you have anything else?
I do not.
Say goodnight, Blob.
Goodnight, Blob.
Bye.
Later.